the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie, and we're your hosts for today. And we are launching into a new series titled, Who is Jesus? I think that often we assume we know who he is, or the culture says one thing about him, or maybe in church we heard certain aspects of who Jesus is, but we thought it would be interesting just to dig into, who does Jesus say that he is?
Right. And the reason that this is important is for obvious reasons, because we want to actually worship the biblical Jesus, not a Jesus of our own creation or the Jesus of the creation of our pastor or our local church or whatever, but like the actual biblical Jesus.
And what better way than to hear from the lips and mouth of Jesus himself?
Right.
And so there are several statements throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus says, I am dot, dot, dot.
Famously in the Gospel of John,
yes,
he says it seven times.
So we want to start with one where Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. So Jesus claims, I am the bread of life. This is who I am. What on earth does that mean?
Right. And let's build a context really quickly for you. So right before Jesus claims to be the bread of life, he accomplishes a very significant miracle, a miracle that I believe shows up in all four of the Gospels, if I'm not mistaken, and that is the feeding of the 5,000. And
yes.
Like that, that's a...
So there's 5,000 men, probably women and children in addition to that. So
right.
Upwards of 15, 20,000 people,
yep,
that Jesus multiplies bread and fish. In the story, there's the young boy who brought some loaves and some fish that he just had in his hand and his lunch pail.
Is that the one in John?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so then Jesus takes this. It's five loaves and two fish. He multiplies it. Everyone's fed, and there's 12 baskets left over. So this crowd is following him. Supposedly, there's many disciples following him. You'll see in John 6, there's not just 12, but a crowd of disciples following him.
Right. And these people have been the reason Jesus feeds them is because they've been listening to him for a very long time, listening to his teachings.
The disciples, the 12 disciples that were chosen by Jesus, had said, yo, Jesus, these people are hungry. Should we send them out to go find some food? And he's like, no, no, come on, guys. Like, look, we got some couple loaves and fish, and the miracle happens. And then we find ourselves just a little bit after that in this passage.
So we're in John chapter 6.
In verse 22, it says, on the next day, the crowd that had remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that the disciples had gone away alone. So they had crossed the sea, but the crowd was still trying to find Jesus. They want to catch up and say, yo, we had our fill, but we still want to see what this Jesus is teaching.
Right. And importantly here, it's important for us to ask the question, why are they really following Jesus? Like, is it because they want Jesus, or is it because they want what Jesus can do for them?
I think that's interesting. Jesus actually answers that.
Right.
Very clearly in the next couple of verses. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. You're coming to me for the free food.
Right.
That's it. You're coming to church for the donuts and the coffee, but you couldn't care less beyond that. Maybe you're interested. And you're seeking it out, but really you're here for the donuts.
In a very literal way, he's saying, you guys only want me for what I can give you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave you a bunch of bread and fish. You want some more. And so he's like, hey, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Like your eyes, your gaze are set on things that will perish and be destroyed and fade away. But there's actually something that will never fade, never be destroyed, that will last forever, not
right,
only in your lifetime, but in the life to come.
And in this instance, he's talking about food. I mean, like, he's talking about eating, like, and bread and this food that, like, you will always be hungry again. You'll always have to eat three times a day or once a day or whatever in order to survive.
Yeah. And, Yet Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I myself, Jesus, am the bread of life. So there is some other bread that will cause you to not go hungry. He says, you will not hunger. You will not thirst if you come to me. I'm the bread of life. And I think he's saying, well, what does bread do? It fills. It satisfies your hunger. Spiritually speaking, Jesus will satisfy the deepest longings and cravings of our souls. He will fill that. There's this psalm that says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it, God says. He will satisfy us. There's another Psalm 37, verse 4, that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I was recently talking with a young person about this. They're like talking about the struggles in their life. And so I'm asking them about their time with God and the different things going on in their spiritual life. And it kind of seemed like they just, well, I'm doing it. I'm just checking it off the box. And I'm like, hold on a second. Wait a second. You're not being satisfied with what you're doing. So something's off.
Right.
And I said, listen to Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So I started saying, what's your favorite dessert? Like maybe it's that brownie. It was at this camp that you left on the counter. You just told me you hid it behind the drink machine because you hope nobody took the last brownie and you want it. Imagine when you take that first bite. It is pure delight.
Right.
Like your brain, your mouth is water. You're going off the charts. I love these brownies. You're delighting in it and you fully enjoy that. That's what God wants for you and him. He wants you to delight in him, spending time with him. So when you're praying, when you're reading the Bible, make sure you're delighting in him. Like you want to be up close with him, and there you will find your satisfaction. Yeah, you'll find your satisfaction there. You'll feel your heart fulfilled and satisfied, your desires met by Christ. And that perspective changes everything.
Right.
I think that Jesus is hinting at this.
Yeah.
I'm the bread of life.
Right.
I will fill you. Don't look everywhere else in the world. Come to me.
Right. I've often thought of that passage in Psalms and thought, yeah, delight yourself in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. What we fail to understand sometimes, I think it's both, that he's going to give us the desires of our heart that are somehow outside of him, like, I don't know, like maybe you really want to get married or you really want to be a parent or you really want to like have this particular career path or whatever. But I think even more than that, he's saying, delight yourself in me and I'll give you the desires of your heart, because he is our satisfaction and he is our joy. Like the ultimate prize is that he gives us himself.
Yeah, he's not saying, oh, your heart wants a Ferrari, so I'm going to give you that.
Right.
He's saying, actually, I fulfill those longings. You may not even know what you want or need.
Right.
I'll fill that. I think that's what these people experienced. Oh, Jesus, we want the bread and fish. He say, no, actually, your souls long for something more.
Right.
Would you come to me? Would you do the work that lasts forever? Stop wasting your lives on these perishable things. We don't care about the bread. This is not why we're here. That's just to pass the time so we can really get to what truly matters.
Right.
And I look around the world, and the world is in desperate need of this. We were just on a call today and dreaming and praying and thinking about unreached places. And think about the news right now, what's going on in Ukraine and wars and rumors of wars. And we were talking about initiatives inside Somalia where there's famine and starvation. And how can believers be laborers, be the love of God in action to go meet these needs of the people and feed them and serve them and love them? But ultimately,
how do we bring them the thing that will satisfy them forever?
Jesus himself.
Right.
Like, that's what these things are for.
Because honestly, we've said this 1,000 times, but like you could feed someone, you could heal their sicknesses or diseases, but if you don't proclaim Jesus in the midst of that, all you've done is extend their life a few years, and then they end up in hell separated from God for eternity.
So this longing of Jesus as the bread of life is needed everywhere in the world. In fact, this is what Jesus said in verse 51. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. He'll have eternity with God. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Like, his eyes are on the whole world. It's on everybody. And as we've looked around the world, everyone has this heart longing that they may not realize it, but they're missing out on the deepest satisfaction of life, the thing that can fill them and satisfy them. They're missing it.
Right.
And I think that's why Jesus knew that wars would increase, sicknesses would increase, divisions would increase, families would have tension. In Matthew 24, he talks about this, and I'm thinking about this a lot with Ukraine and what's going on, and these conversations about starvation and famine and suicide bombers every week inside Somalia and drunkards and these tribes in East Africa and in Asia, all these people have never heard the gospel and communist dictators, all these things going on. And Jesus says, in the midst of that, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come to every tribe, every nation.
Yep.
He's saying they all need me.
Yep.
They all need my flesh, which I've given for them. So there's a deep need everywhere.
Right. And ultimately, what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the bread of life, is he's saying, I am sustenance. I am the thing that you need. I will satisfy all your desires. I will satisfy all your needs. We've hit that pretty hard, I think.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're all on the same page about that. Now, and just one more thing for context. We often think of bread as something that couldn't possibly satisfy us. But really, when Jesus was speaking, back in these days, they ate sourdough bread, which is a fermented style of bread. And that bread, literally, you can survive on it. Mm. It's not just carbohydrates. Like, there's proteins in it because it's been fermented and all this stuff. So when he says, I'm the bread of life, he's saying, I am the thing that can satisfy, that can fill you, that can keep you moving forward.
That you long for.
Right. Mm-hmm. Here's the question, though.
Well, we're not done. Before we ask that, though,
yeah.
I think it's worth emphasizing, because Jesus emphasized it.
Yeah.
Literally, like, 8 times, he's like, hey, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger or thirst. Just before that, he's like, hey, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then he's like, oh, in case you didn't catch it, guess what? Again, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then it says that those who were listening, the Jews, had a fist fight. They disputed among themselves, like, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus is like, in case you didn't catch it, guys, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Okay, again, thanks, Jesus. Appreciate that clarification. And then again, the very next sentence, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Awesome. And then he says again, the next sentence, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Thanks. Appreciate the clarification. Again, the next sentence, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And then the next sentence again, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. And then again, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread of the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. I'm like, dude, like, could you imagine sitting there and hearing this like 8 times in a row?
Right.
Like, guys, no, I'm serious. Like, you need to hear this.
You need to eat my,
and
you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood.
He keeps saying it. He says it a few more times. And then it comes to I think, the question maybe you're about to ask.
Right. I mean, ultimately, I mean, the joke in what you just said was, this is a very difficult to understand passage. And it feels maybe to some like, why is Jesus saying you need to eat me? Is he like a proponent of cannibalism? or is he talking maybe about the Last Supper? Like, I think there's a lot of, maybe we need to clarify that before we.
That's a good point. So no, Jesus is not saying literally cannibalistic, you should come eat me right now.
Right.
I personally don't believe he's talking about communion or the Last Supper. Why? That's not until several years later.
Right.
This is early on in Jesus' ministry and life. And so nobody, like, Jesus is not saying things to that crowd right there that are not coming for several, that doesn't make any sense. So all that to be said, what on earth does Jesus mean? He means we're his sustenance, but
that he's our sustenance.
Yeah, sorry. Jesus is our sustenance as his followers. But why then, this is the question, why then does this happen? After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Just before that, they said, this is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it?
Mm-hmm.
If it simply is as simple as Jesus saying, guys, guess what? I'll satisfy you. Free gift.
Right.
Come and take it. Like, why would they walk away from that?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. Ultimately, I think that the answer to that question is because, why were they following him in the first place? It harkens back to the very first question that we asked on this podcast, which was, why did they chase after Jesus? And Jesus said, because you want the stuff that I give, you want the gifts that I give more than you want me.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the answer to that, ultimately to this question as well, that we or these people left Jesus because they really weren't there for Jesus. They were there for what Jesus could give them or provide for them.
I think so. And I think that Jesus really brought out the heat and the conviction, opening up their hearts to say, hey, you want this bread that I give? You don't really want me. Mm. You don't want the bread of life that'll satisfy you. You're seeking all these things that don't satisfy. And you guys are, and then they're getting all up in arms because they're taking him so literally. He's using this as an illustration, and they're going, oh, we literally need to feast on him? Is this guy crazy?
Right, like, that's going to be problematic.
No, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus is like, you need to trust in me.
Right.
You need to eat of me, have fellowship. And that day, to have a meal together was to sit at the table and have fellowship and reconciliation. Mm. And so I believe that Jesus is saying, I want to be reconciled to you. I want to have fellowship with you. Come up close to me. Trust in me. Believe in me. I must be more important to you than the food that you've sought after from me. And that's weird, I think, in our culture, especially in the West and the modern age. But we've traveled enough to places where if there's free food or free gifts, people are coming out of the woodwork.
Well, I mean, that's true of like youth group.
Yeah,
there I mean, you that's go. True. Yeah. I mean, everywhere. It's true everywhere. You got free pizza, there's people showing up
that's
for free
true.
Pizza.
There you go. Free pizza, you get a whole crowd. Yeah. No pizza.
Maybe not.
How come only one person came?
Yeah.
And then around the world in a tribal context, like, man, we got free stuff being handed out, which I don't always recommend in the missions context. There's a place and a time, but different discussion we've talked about before. People will come out of the woodworks. People you've never met before. I thought I met everybody in this village. Where'd this guy come from? Oh, he walked all night. He heard there was free stuff. Like, what? Like, I think Jesus is addressing some of that with these people. And he's like, guys, you just wanted this food? But I must be more important to you than your next meal.
Right.
And if I'm not, you probably don't really want me.
Yep.
And I think that begs the question on us. Sometimes I think we treat Jesus as check it off the list. Pray before we go to bed. Show up at church on Sundays. Show up at church on Wednesdays. And that's enough. I did what was good enough. And he's saying, no, I'm your very life sustenance. If you're not eating of me daily, coming to me, if I'm not a 24/7 longing of your heart, something might be off here.
Right. And you will find it impossible to live the Christian life. Like, you're going to find the Christian life to be completely and utterly empty if he's not the sustenance, if he's not the core, if he's not the very center of it all. I can't emphasize this enough. Like, I've stood in front of literally hundreds of people and proclaimed to them that without Jesus, the Christian life makes no sense. And that this is not just like any other religion where it's all about following all the rules and this and that and all. It's about Jesus. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. And if you're not going to have a relationship with Jesus, Christianity is going to make no sense to you. And of course you're not going to be we look at the church today and we wonder, why are people not like obeying Jesus' commands to like share the gospel or love their neighbor? Of course you're not going to follow Jesus' commands. You never met the guy. This is such a core, crucial teaching. He has to be everything. He has to be the sustenance. Like, in the same way that you're feasting three times a day in order to stay alive, you got to be feasting on Jesus three times, you know, all the time in order to stay
24/7.
Alive.
24/7. Maybe you need to ask yourself, is Jesus my sustenance?
Yep.
And how would you know? Well, are you hungering to be up close and spend time with him, whether that's just talking to him along the way or reading a scripture, meditating on it, memorizing it, listening to his voice, just getting up close to him relationally in a friendship? Do you hunger to be close to Jesus as often as you hunger for food? What? Do you hunger for the nearness of Jesus and think of him as often as you think of looking at your iPhone? Mm. Ding, ding. Oh, phone. Oh, Instagram, Facebook. Oh, man, Snapchat. Oh, my friends, my buddies texting me. Do you think of Jesus as often as you do of those who are constantly bombarding you, of the news, of things that are hitting you on your phone? I think that's the question we need to ask. And maybe if Jesus was in our culture, he would say, I'm the phone of life. I don't know. I'm the social media of life. Like, you constantly have your eyes on that. Do you constantly have your eyes on me?
Sure.
And all of that to say, Jesus is the bread of life.
He is the bread of life. I'll leave you with this story, or we'll leave you with this story. So not long ago, we're in the middle of nowhere in Africa, and we decide to go on a hunt with the Hadzabe, who are famous bow hunters in their area. And we're not going to shoot anything, but we're going to watch them shoot some stuff. And that's the goal. So we wake up early one morning, and we take with us a limited amount of water because it's going to be a long journey. And we're thinking to ourselves, water is 8 pounds a gallon. Don't want to be hauling some super heavy thing around. Little did we know just how long this journey would be. The climate at that time of year when we were there was super arid and dry. And we're walking through the bush, and like 2 or 3 hours pass, and we're already out, completely out of liquid. And the Hadzabe people that we're with are drinking out of trees and stuff, but like that's not an option for us because we're going to get diseases that we can't get past like they can, because they have the digestive system to handle that kind of stuff, whatever the case may be. The journey goes on for another couple of hours. And I remember turning back towards camp, being miles away from camp on foot, have no water, and my mouth is parched and my lips are cracked. And like, you know how when you get really thirsty, your tongue starts to like stick in your mouth and all of that? Like, that's the level of thirst that we were experiencing. And I remember, man, I just want to be satisfied. I love an ice cold glass of water on a hot day, but like, man, I would drink a very hot thing of water right now. I just, please just satisfy me. And I remember getting back to camp finally. I think that whole day took like 6 hours, and we had drank we're hiking around and we had drank maybe a liter of water or whatever. We got back to camp, and taking that first sip of water, and it just, you know, like satisfying your parched lips. And I remember in that moment Jesus saying, hey, do you want me as much as you wanted that water just then? And I don't know. I think that's exactly what he's saying here. Do you want me as much as your body craves food and water?
What do you crave most in life? Do you really view Jesus as the bread of life as he says he is? I think that's a question we need to walk away and grapple with. I think if we grab a hold of who Jesus is as the bread of life, man, we'll change the world.
Amen.
Those people who followed him, those disciples, many turned back. Those few who didn't, it says the world was turned upside down. Just imagine what could happen if Jesus truly became the bread of life to you.
Amen.
Well, thank you guys for joining this episode of Fuel for the Harvest. If you don't mind, please unsubscribe and resubscribe so more people hear about it. We're seeing more people listen in, which is exciting. A few more nations have been added on that are downloading episodes, which is awesome. I think we're like 48 almost nations at this point, which is really cool to see. So keep at it, guys. Some of you are living in really difficult contexts for the gospel. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep telling others about this good news, about this Jesus who is the bread of life. And we really appreciate you guys listening and downloading episodes, and thank you for listening in. We're really excited for next week as we continue this series on who is Jesus and who does he say he is. So God bless you guys, and see you next time.